What a joyful day in the life of our church. Today marks the onset of the Advent season and also our transition into the next phase of our year's Connect theme. Connect is one of the core practices of our faith, which along with the other practices of worship and serve, learn and invite, equip us to follow Jesus. Our theme began in the fall with connect to each other, and we intentionally gathered and nurtured relationships as we celebrated our return from summer and the restoration of our community of faith. And now with Advent, our connect theme transitions to connect with God. We're kicking off all our season's connect themes with festival Sundays such as today, when we come together in one worship service with a meal. And festivals take us back to biblical times when the ancient Israelites would make seasonal pilgrimages to the temple for festivals, marking their shared identity as people of God, pointing themselves and their lives to the one true God. And so today, thousands of years later, we gather as one body, sharing our common identity in Christ, connecting to each other and connecting to God. I can think of no better reason for a festival. Would you pray with me? Holy God, your steadfast love has endured from the beginning of time. As we connect to you now through your word, open our hearts and minds to experience that love. Touch us deeply, O God, and transform us into your image. Amen. So since this idea of connect has been on my mind, since we've been sharing life and ministry together, it has also come to my mind at home. For most of this fall, because I had nothing else going on, our family's home has been undergoing renovation. Yes, and it feels like a lot of renovation, but really that's only because of the mess and disruption. I know that many of you are also doing the same thing and can relate. But watching this process over time and thinking about connecting has gotten me paying attention to the connections required to make a home strong and enduring. In fact, I should probably take this opportunity to make a public apology to our builder, my new friend Jim Hogel, who has patiently endured my many questions about construction connections. My daughter Abby finally said, "Mom, you really don't pay him enough." So sorry, Jim. But the connections are endless. Beams and joists, drywall, flooring, each coming together in their own way. I know you work trip people are following me here. Some of the connections are interlocking. Sometimes things are butting up against one another, but sealed with adhesive and glues. There are roller joints, dovetails, mortise and tenon joints, and I'm told that Jesus probably used those. See, I was really paying attention. All of these unique ways the building materials connect. There are also electrical connections, so interdependent that if one part falters, the whole circuit fails. And plumbing connections, too, and wow, all I can say about that is when those don't work, you've got a real mess on your hands. The nature of these connections, how they actually transfer power or water or structural integrity, it all varies a great deal, but each connection is essential for the optimal functioning and endurance of the structure. We humans thrive on connections too. We are created as interconnected beings, stronger as people when we have strong connections. It is not right for us to be alone, we read in the Genesis creation story. We are meant to connect. And like building connections, we all connect differently. How we relate to each other and who we comfortably connect to varies, just like the parts of a building structure. What causes our connections to break and how we repair those connections differs too. Yet the importance of connecting remains the same. We must connect to thrive and endure, to fulfill our God-ordained purpose in the world. But if our focus was just about our connections to each other, we could be talking about any organization, any gathering, anywhere, for any purpose. But we gather because we are also connected to God, in whom we live and move and have our very being. Our Advent theme, God with Us, expresses the deep nature of this connection to God. God with us. Advent reminds us that God is with us. God came to us in Jesus Christ. God in Christ promised to stay with us, and God in Christ will come again. God with us. If we ever in the life of this country and the world needed the reassurance that God is with us, this is surely the time, wouldn't you say? Because our connection to God connects us to our source of hope, and we surely need hope. Our reality, though, is that connecting to God is not all that easy. We have so many distractions that pull us away from a strong sense of God's presence. Pressures of daily life and work, worries about our health or our family, time constraints, not to mention the distractions of our culture, false promises and claims, all of which take our eyes off the true source of joy and peace and love. Our gospel reading today ends with the imperative to keep awake. But what are we keeping awake to? What our world keeps us awake to is often just exactly what cuts us off from our wakefulness to God. In our lesson from Mark's gospel, which was brought to life by Brian, we hear an apocalyptic description of God with us. Wow, it seems difficult to not be awake through God's presence in this scene. The writer describes power that shakes the heavens, darkness covering the earth, stars falling out of the skies as the Son of Man enters into our human condition. It's a scene right out of Stranger Things, if you're watching the Netflix series. And by the way, buckle up, season 3 has just been promised. While this Bible text sounds like science fiction to us, this scene from Mark to its ancient audience was a source of hope. Hope and trust in God's transforming presence in the world. When Mark's gospel was written, the people of God were suffering. Nations were at war, the Israelites were in exile in a strange land, and their temple, the place they believed where God dwelled on earth, had been completely destroyed. The world as they knew it was ending. The scene describes a powerful God coming in to battle evil and rescue God's people. Humankind could not do it on its own. We prove to be incapable of building the kingdom God envisioned, so God steps in. Apocalyptic literature, rather than being merely a story of destruction, was written to provide hope. And Mark's gospel reminds us of the power of God to intervene and redeem. It's a reminder that even when the powers of suffering and evil overwhelm us, powers which today we might name as political corruption, sexual abuse, violence, cancer, even when the powers of suffering and evil seem stronger, God's grace breaks through and wins. And sometimes that feels pretty disruptive. And it is to that inbreaking, to the power of God breaking into our midst, that the gospel tells us to keep awake. Keep awake. The English translations vary. Be alert. Stay on watch. Look out. And the Greek connotes a vigilance about this staying awake. This is not just awake as in the opposite of sleeping, but more like awaiting with expectation. I suppose it's like the difference for a child between waiting for Christmas and waiting for Santa. When you're waiting for Christmas to come, it just feels like a lot of long days. Sometimes with excitement, mostly with impatience, the days drag on as you continue to hope for Christmas to be here. For a child, it feels like it will never come. But waiting for Santa, now that's a different awake. It's a wide-eyed awake. It's a perk up at every sound awake. Because you know Santa will come. The sound of the door, of footsteps, of paper rustling. You listen for the signs. Could it be? And this is the state of vigilant alertness we are encouraged to employ as we wait for God. It's the kind of watchfulness necessary to discern God's presence among the distractions of our lives. Our PNC study team mentioned that they are practicing discernment. They're training themselves to notice God's movement among us in this time, to discern God's presence. And they will tell you it's a different kind of paying attention, a very different listening. Because God doesn't always come in the ways we're used to, at the times we want, doing the things we expect. Sometimes God comes as a still small voice, spoken in a rare moment of peace when your mind is elsewhere, or coming from the quietest person in the room who only says just one thing, and that's the one thing we all need to hear. Sometimes the presence of God is more pressing and uncomfortable, like the times when our relationships are in disrepair, and we know what we need to do to make it right, but we resist because it's hard, or our egos get in the way, or we feel too vulnerable. And then God speaks, whether through another person or through scripture or deep within us, and we have to act because it's too uncomfortable not to, and then we find God acting with us. Then other times, the presence of God is much more powerful, feeling just as disruptive as this scene in Mark, shocking us out of our complacency or routine. Perhaps we are seeing that in our country today as victims of sexual abuse come forward in masses, waking us up to injustice. Injustice that perhaps we were asleep to. It's not a peaceful inbreaking. It's extremely disruptive, like God coming as a baby into a violent world, disruptive but necessary. Discerning the presence of God takes a wakefulness, and it also takes a connection. When we are connected, when we're in relationship, we know what to listen for, to pay attention to. The parent waiting for their teenager to come home after a night out with friends knows what to be awake for. The flash of headlights, the family car door slam, the squeak of the hinges on the entry door, the familiar toss of the shoes in the mudroom. Familiar. Connecting to God makes the watchfulness easier because God's movement becomes more familiar. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians that God would give them wisdom as they come to know God, because then they would know the hope that they were called to. Knowing God, connecting to God is knowing hope. And so we stop to pray, to connect to our source of wisdom and hope. And we pause to worship, to be reminded of God's sovereignty and faithfulness in Christ. We take time to study, turning to God's word, to connect and understand God's ways so we recognize God's voice above the world's. And we connect to each other, because it is often in relationships when we come to most fully experience and connect to the loving presence of God. Still, it is not easy. With even our most watchful ear and eye, with our most pleading prayer, with our most attentive worship, we miss God's voice. We lose the sense of God with us. Whether it's us getting lost in our grief or distracted by worry or drawn to false promises, there are and will continue to be times when we can't feel God's presence beside us. And to this community of Mark's passage that has grown weary, waiting, and troubled by the delay of Christ's second coming, and to us today, Scripture gives us hope. Like the fig tree, which will put forth leaves in the spring, promising summer will come, God will come. The master of the house will return. Into a troubled world and our troubled lives, God will break in. It may be different for all of us. Like all the myriad of unique ways building materials connect, God will connect with each of us uniquely. But by God's grace, God will connect to restore and redeem us. It's a connection that will not let us down. I heard theologian Walter Brueggemann say recently that our hope in God is matched by God's yearning for us. We can be comforted by that grace. God is yearning for the same connection we ourselves long for. So stay awake. Be alert. It might be disruptive. It will probably surprise us, but God will come. God has come, and God will come again. May it be so. Amen.